VIP Conduit presents Getting to Know You for April 2022. This month, our guest is Lisa Filroy. Let's welcome our host, Susie B.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my guest is Lisa Filroy from Springfield, Missouri. Hello, Lisa. Welcome, and thanks for being my guest.
Well, hey, Susie. Thanks for having me. Always glad to be able to do this.
Well, let's start out with our general little questions. Where were you born?
I was born in Dallas, Texas.
And is that where you grew up?
It is.
Do you have sisters and brothers? And if so, where do you fall out in line?
I've got two sisters, and I'm right in the middle.
Oh, you're the middle child. Okay. Lisa, were you born with vision, or were you, did that just, is that the way you started out?
I started out with a little bit of vision in the left eye, light perception. They removed the right eye when I was 10 days old because of some kind of malformation. Had a little bit of vision up until April of 76. And that's a different story that we may be getting into later. So,
okay. Well, we'll get to that then. All right. When it was, all right, when you were a kid, even before you started to school, were you a little girl that stayed inside and play, or were you outside roughing it with all of them?
I was outside right in the middle of it. We had some kids next door to us that was about my age, and they were all sighted and didn't have any problems whatsoever. So I was right out in the middle of whatever they were playing with.
Good deal. When it was time to start to school, did you go to public school or did you go to the school for the blind?
Started out in first grade when I first learned Braille at a parochial school, I guess you call it, parish day school, and went to public school in the fifth grade, I believe it was, and started public school there. But I started actually in sighted classrooms in the fourth grade.
Okay, so you had in parochial school, then you got a had good, I guess, resource people that taught you Braille and all the blind skills that you needed. Well, not blind skill, but Braille and the skills that you needed to do your work. So you had a good basis when you started public school. Is that right?
I did. And learned Braille in first grade and learned typing in third. And then fourth grade, started public school. I thought it was fifth, but it's fourth. And had the resource room downstairs with Braille books and stuff, and then started getting the itinerant teacher in the fifth grade.
Okay, how many blind kids were in the resource room with you?
There were several of us. In fact, the first grade, I was in with a bunch of blind people, and we just went through that particular school all together and then kind of split up in different directions in fourth and fifth grade.
Okay. Can you think of any special thing that you all may have done that kind of stands out in your mind that was enjoyable for you?
Not that I can think of right offhand back then. It was just kind of run-of-the-mill stuff.
Okay. All right. Okay, did you go from like sixth grade to maybe junior high, which was seventh, eighth, and ninth, which was at even another school?
Finished seventh grade in elementary school, eighth and ninth in junior high, and then 10, 11, and 12 in high school. So I was going to three different schools.
Now, when you got to, well, before you went to junior high, were there any activities there that you were involved in outside the just your regular classroom deal?
No, not then. The fun and stuff didn't start till junior high and high school.
All right, let's start talking about the fun stuff.
Well, in eighth grade, I joined the pep squad and got to go to all the football games and all that kind of stuff. Ninth grade was drill team. There again, got to go to the football games. And instead of having to do the routine out on the field at halftime, I got to carry the flag and walked with each captain of one of the teams each week.
Now, that's one more way of meeting guys. That's all I've got to say. Back in eighth grade in this pep squad, was that like your cheer? Were you a cheerleader or were you a... Tell me about what a pep squad is.
It's just where we went to the game and cheered with the cheerleaders, and we didn't do anything at halftime, of course, but we just made the what they called the pep squad and just went out there and did the cheering and stuff along with the cheerleaders during the game.
Okay. Loud and rowdy, right?
Of course.
In ninth grade, you were with drill team. You carried the flag. You got to walk with the captains of the football team. You know, I've heard stories of guys picking up girls, but this is kind of a different slant.
No, actually, it was captains of each drill team. There was four squads on that drill team, and each one of them had a captain, and that's the one that I was walking out with.
All this time, I thought you were walking with the captain of the football team. Okay, that makes more sense, because they wouldn't have had but one captain anyway. With the drill team, can you think of some situation that happened that was either really special or was kind of funny happening?
There again, it was just run-of-the-mill. Everything went, you know, pretty much like it was supposed to.
Okay. And did you do this in 10th grade as well?
No, when I got to high school, I didn't do that. I forget exactly why, but I didn't do that. I did hang out with the athletic department, though, in the mornings during high school and help them with donut sales and running little errands for them, getting change at the office and that kind of thing. But other than that, it was just my sophomore year in high school was just kind of run-of-the-mill, too. I had a bunch of good friends, though, so it worked out.
Now, were you ever involved in any sort of sporting events in high school of any type?
Well, not sporting event per se. That's 10th grade is when I started my martial arts deal. We had a gentleman that was a brown belt in judo at the time that was in my class, and he started doing a mini series after school for anybody that wanted to learn judo. And of course, I had to be right in on that too, but we did that. And then after we got through with his little course, I just kept working with him and started judo and going to tournaments and stuff like that with him and his dad.
And I guess you really liked that. And how far did you get in that? Is this the sport where you get different colors of belts, black, I guess, being the optimum?
Yeah, all the martial arts pretty well is that way. But judo, I only got to purple, I think, which was like third or fourth. I didn't go as far in judo as I did karate, which we'll get into later, too.
In 12th grade, is there anything else we need to cover before we get to the 12th grade?
Not that I can think of.
12th grade was kind of rocky, wasn't it? Not schoolwork type and not with how you got along with folks. But tell us what all was happening with a few months of your senior year.
A few months of my senior year, in 1975, I ended up having eye surgery and got a little bit more vision. They did a cornea transplant and did some other eye work on that left eye. Got a little bit more vision. With glasses, I was seeing fairly well. I could read print out of the paper. Still had to hold it up fairly close, but the print was clear. And then in February of 76, I developed glaucoma, And in April of 76, the retina detached, and what little vision I had went.
How did you feel when that happened? After having, oh my goodness, your vision improved so much, and then just to lose it.
It was disappointing, Susie, but it really didn't bother me. I figured that was happening because I just had a feeling that that was, because right before it did, you know, you hear about people seeing kind of black dots in front of their eyes and stuff like that. And I was seeing kind of like that, too. And I thought, uh-oh. Sure enough, went down for a checkup that April, and Doc said, your retina detached. I said, well, that don't surprise me.
Well, during this period of time, when you did have the best vision that you'd ever had in your life, and we haven't talked about this beforehand, but it just occurred to me. What were some of the things that you saw and you were just so amazed at? And even like at Christmas, the Christmas lights and all the decorations.
Just everything was so much clearer. Before I had that surgery with the light perception, I could still detect color and, you know, not object per se, but color. And of course, the surgery made the colors much clearer. The objects were more able to see, and I loved the Christmas tree and stuff all decorated during the holidays. The only thing it did not help is I never got facial recognition, so I never got a chance to, you know, see what anybody actually looked like to where I could recognize them if I had to, but, you know, that's okay too.
Well, what about, you know, clothes? I used to be able to identify people by what they wore. Did you find that you were able to do that? Only one day I made a real mistake because this guy had on a flannel shirt and jeans, and I thought he was one person. He was somebody else.
No, I never got that far.
How long were you in the hospital?
The first time from October to December, I was in there 5 weeks, and then I had some outpatient stuff, so I stayed down in Houston in a hotel. But I was actually in the hospital for 5 weeks. That time, when I went down for the glaucoma problem, I was in there for 7. And then in April, when the retina detached, I was there for 3.
What did you do all of this time that you were in the hospital? I'm sure that you didn't have to lay flat in your bed all that time.
Well, the first time during October, there's a bunch of us that had eye surgery at the same time. They were on the same floor, so we'd get up and walk around, and you know, because they always wanted you up and moving. So we'd get up and walk up and down the hall or go downstairs to the cafeteria or whatever. Now, when the glaucoma set in, when I went in February and the glaucoma was so bad, he kept me in bed for most of the time there because he didn't want me moving around. So I got stuck laying around that time. And then when the retina detached, I was kind of still too. Not as much because he couldn't get it back, and he tried, you know, but he said it was just wadded up back there. He said I couldn't straighten it out at all. So he wasn't too worried about me staying in bed then, but February was the worst part.
Okay, now I know that up until just maybe the last year or so, you have primarily been a Braille book reader. You love to read, but you like to read in Braille. While you were in the hospital, did you have books to read?
Yeah, I had, back then, of course, had cassettes and stuff, but I had Braille. When Mom would come down during the weekends, or if some friends came down, I'd get them not only to bring me something to read, but they'd also bring my class assignments, and I could get those done and send them back with Mom the following weekend if I had to. And the school was just wonderful working with me on that stuff.
Okay, let's put a bookmark right here because you went to public school, but in the summers, didn't you go to the School for the Blind for their summer enrichment program a summer or so?
I did. I went down to the Texas School for the Blind in 72, 73, and 74. And it's a good thing I did because in 72, I took a math course down there. And in 73, I took an English course that summer. By doing that, I got enough credits that I could graduate with my class in 76.
Oh, that's great. Now, your experience is during the summer enrichment program, other than this math class and the English class, what were some other things that you all did?
Oh, they had mobility and home ec. I forget what else I took down there, but that was the main ones. And then, of course, whatever we did after school, which wasn't a whole heck of a lot, but we did a few things. We had a nice recreational deal down there. 72 or 73 especially. We had some fun, did a lot of recreation.
That's good. Did you take shop by any chance?
No, I wish I could have. I don't think they offered it during the summer down there, but I sure would have loved to.
I know a few years ago there were twins from Chattanooga that went to the enrichment program at TSB, and I think they were 11, and they got to take shop. They absolutely loved shop, and I thought that was so neat. All right, so you did get to graduate with your class. Before we get you graduated, was there anything else that happened in high school that you want to bring out?
Like I said, hung around with the athletic department in the mornings, and while I was in the hospital, they got together and brought me down $5 worth of change, which is what I used to get them all the time because they always needed change. So Terry and his dad brought me $5 worth of change down to the hospital when I was in there in October. Then in December of that year, of course, I wasn't in school, but one of the coaches happened to be the cousin of Bob Newhouse, who played with the Dallas Cowboys at the time, and I got to go out and meet the team on their practice field one Saturday, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. That's great. Oh, there is something from the summer program. I want you to tell us about the story with the mobility instructor and the rocks.
Oh, are you talking about the car deal?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that wasn't at TSB. That was at Chris Cole, which I went to the summer after TSB. But anyway, at the time, Mr. Hale was a recreation person at TSB. So me and a couple of friends of mine, we liked to have fun with some of those people. And he had this car, and we'd go around, and we wouldn't do any damage to it or anything, of course, but we'd put rocks around the tires and mess around with that a little bit. Of course, we did not flatten them or anything, but we did put rocks kind of in the spokes and stuff like that. Well, anyway, he figured out who was doing it. Well, to make a long story short, when I saw him again a few years later at Chris Cole, he asked me if I remembered him. I said, yeah. And I said, hey, by the way, he said, I'm not telling you where my car is. I said, oh, come on, why not?
Okay. All right. When you graduated, then is that when you went to Chris Cole, or what did you do right after you graduated?
Well, after I graduated from high school, I did go 1 year of college, which it was not for me, so I didn't do that anymore. I went down to Houston, and this was in 78. I went down to Houston to the lighthouse down there and did some clerical and switchboard training for about a year, and in 79 went back to Dallas and got a job with the phone company being an intercept operator, which I had done one summer, and I don't remember which year that was, but anyway, I did do it during the summer. But I got that job back in 79 and held it for a little bit over 4 years.
Okay, what did you do after that?
After that, I moved to Indiana.
What took you to Indiana?
Got married the first time in Indiana. I was there from 84 to 98.
Okay. And then did you leave Indiana and move to Missouri?
I did. I moved to Missouri in 98, actually. And Indiana and let me know if I'm jumping the gun here, Susie, but Indiana is where I got into karate and also got into ham radio.
No, you just keep on like you're doing. All right, you got into karate, and I think you got something more than a purple belt there, didn't you?
I did. I was able to go all the way up to black belt on that one. There again, I was able to do competition with everybody. And in some of those competitions, there was what they called disabled people that could compete against each other, or we could do it with the sighted people. And most of the time, I was right in the middle of the sighted people. Every once in a while, I'd do the other one, especially if there was only one other person, you know, to give us both a little bit of competition. But I had fun whichever way I went. I had a good time.
Okay. So how many years were you involved in karate?
About four. I think I started in 1990 and then got the black belt in 94.
So did you take Gary down? Is that the way you got his attention?
No. I was taping with his wife at the time, and they invited me up to St. Louis, and then, you know, things happened there, and then Gary and I got together later on.
Okay. So how many years were you and Gary married?
We were married 9. We got married in 2000, and he passed away in 2009.
When did you come to the Blind Like Me get together in Houston? That's when I first met you.
Yeah, it was. And if I remember right, that was 2008.
I thought so, but wasn't sure. Yeah. We did have a good time, didn't we?
Oh, we most certainly did have a wonderful time down there that weekend.
Yeah, Phil knew how to put together a get together. And then, of course, you came down to Tennessee to see me a couple of times, which was fun for me.
Oh, and it was very fun for me. I enjoyed both times I was down there.
One time, it was alumni weekend, so it was easy to entertain her. I took her to alumni. I know that you're very involved in country music events and maybe other events here on VIP. And when did you start doing those, and what sort of things are you specifically involved in?
Well, before I get to that, yeah, that alumni weekend was good. And that's the first time that I got a chance to meet Pig, and had a really good time meeting up with him. Anyway, the country music on VIP, I've been a member of VIP, I don't even remember when I joined, but I know it's been several years back. And got involved in the music stuff through the years, and host a country, real country roundup event on Tuesday night. In fact, it's going to be after this. This is done, and Tomcat and I host that, and we play all the good old country music that we don't get to hear anymore. And then there's other music events that I'm involved in that's not necessarily country, but country's involved. You know, if you want to play some in it. But I love music, so I try to be involved in as much of that as I can.
Now, you mentioned at alumni you met Pig, and I didn't meet him that weekend. I was off doing something else, so you met him years before I did. But that weekend, and of course we're going to put it in here because a lot of you knew Pig, he won the Ralph Brewer Achievement Award that weekend, and that is a prestigious award that was set up years ago by John Brown from Chattanooga, and he set up the money for that and named it after Ralph. What are some of your hobbies now?
Of course, reading and Braille primarily. It's still my favorite format. However, I will read digital books, but I still love my Braille. And reading and doing whatever. Linda and I, that's a friend here in town. Well, in fact, it's Gary's cousin. we get out every Tuesday and go to lunch and go shopping if we need to, or doctor's appointments or whatever else. And then I do whatever, you know, comes along at the time.
Okay. Do you have any bucket plans?
Not right offhand. The way things are now, I haven't really planned anything. Eventually, I'd love to go on a cruise or go on a train ride or something like that, but nothing's in the works at the moment.
Okay, I skipped over something. How do you handle, the shopping part, we've already answered because you and Linda do that. How do you handle paying your bills and transportation in your area?
I pay my bills by phone. A lot of my, the phone bill, the utility bill, and some of the credit card bills come in Braille. But I also check them and get the balance over the phone. But I pay the bills by phone. And transportation, we've got a nice yellow cab company that's pretty good here, and also a decent paratransit that I use frequently.
And groceries, you just pretty much do that with Linda instead of ordering it through Instacart or something, right?
Yep, so far, but I'm going to try to learn to do it online just in case, because you never know what may happen.
No, you don't. Mm-mm. All right, anything else you'd like to add? Because I hope you remember that people are going to get a chance to ask you questions, and if they ask you something you don't feel comfortable about answering, just say, move on, and that'll be it. Anything else you want to add?
No, not that I can think of, Susie. I think we've covered basically the basics anyway.
All right, gang. Here's your chance to ask Lisa questions. I want to remind you that if you're keyed up and somebody else is asking a question, please let go of the key, because otherwise Lisa won't get a chance to answer the question. And then as she's answering it, then you can push your key down, and then that'll put you in line. It's better if you wait, because sometimes when you key up, it doesn't always happen, but sometimes you cut the person's key, and we do want to let her have a chance, and there'll be plenty of time. So, all right, let the questions begin.
Hi, Lisa. This is Tammy Lynn. I loved your interview. Thank you so much. I'm wondering about your Braille reading, the books that you read. Do you get hard copy Braille, or do you actually use a Braille display? I'm a Braille reader, too, and I teach Braille, but I find that it's hard to get a lot of books. They're coming from different parts of the country now, and they seem to be having less and less hard copy Braille, so I'm wondering what you're finding with that.
My books I read in hard copy, Tammy Lynn. I've got a Braille display, but I don't use it for books. Wolfner Library up here in Missouri is good about getting Braille books to me, so that's where I get it from them. I don't get them from any other place except for Wolfner.
Lisa, it's Parker. You said you were an intercept operator for the phone company for about 4 years. I'm curious, what does an intercept operator do?
Okay, Parker, you remember the old time when you'd hear, what number did you dial, please? Well, that's what I did. And then we'd key in the number and hit the button, and that's when that recording would come on to tell you if it was disconnected or changed or whatever.
Wow, okay, thank you.
Lisa, it's Terry. I'm sure you knew that. But anyway, I knew you were a ham radio operator. What class license did you have, and how old were you when you got your license?
I got my license in 1986, got my novice in 86, which would put me about 28, if I remember, 28 or 29. And then in 91, I got my advanced license, and that as high as I went.
Lisa, what type of occupation were your parents in?
Dad was a dispatcher for East Texas Motor Freight, a trucking company in Texas. And Mom taught Braille to sighted people. She could sight read Braille because she used to Braille some of my stuff for me if I needed it Brailled. But she did that at this place that also did some activities with blind children during the summer. And I'd always go there and we'd do activities, going to musicals and swimming and different places like that.
Lisa, a great interview. I'm just wondering, being such an avid Braille reader, have you also kept up with all the new Braille that's coming out or has been out?
Don't get me started on that, Becky. I've seen some of it. I can deal with a little bit of it, but I'm not really into the new contractions and stuff. I can deal with it if I have to.
On that same point, the books that you get, are they written in the new Braille or the Braille that we grew up with?
Some of them, both. The older ones, of course, are the ones that we know. The newer ones are tending to go to the newer Braille. That's why I said I can tolerate it.
Any other questions? I can't believe that you all are letting her get off this easily. Well, I'll ask, in country music, who would be your favorite two artists?
I can't answer that, Susie. There's too many of them. I guess one of my favorite has got to be Charlie Pride. I got to go see him back in 2012, 2013. He was down in Branson, and me and some friends went down and saw him. And then, of course, Merle Haggard and Marty Stewart are both excellent, because I got to see them too, and that was in 15. Unfortunately, as we all know, Merle passed away a year later, or in April of the next year, and that was one neat concert.
As you probably know, Marty Stewart played a big role in the Celebration of Life at Pigs event at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and he did such an excellent job and had great funny stories.
I just want to jump in for a minute, too, and let the folks that don't know, Lisa is a great addition to the VIP Conduit board, and we really enjoyed having her with us. She keeps us all in line.
Well, thanks, Terry. I enjoy being on the board and being on VIP and helping out whenever I can.
Lisa's our calendar girl. She always tells us when the next meeting is.
Yes, she does.
Lisa, are you one of those folks that can take a calendar date and tell you when it's going to happen or what day it's on? It's amazing to me how some people can do that.
No. The day of the board meeting, I look to see when the next one is the following month.
Oh, shoot, that's not magical.
See, you had them buffaloed. They thought you had this magic ability.
No, afraid not.
You're just on top of it, girl.
Oh, yeah, I keep on top of it, that's for sure.
What did you sing with Pete when you was together?
We didn't. I just met him, and we visited, and that sort of thing, but that was all.
Well, that would have been neat to get to see together.
Any more questions?
It was a great interview, Lisa.
Thanks, Parker, and thank you, Susie.
Well, it was absolutely my treat. Thanks to all of you for coming and joining us tonight. And next month, well, I haven't talked to her yet, but I hope to have another very interesting person for you all to attend their interview. So good luck to everyone. Lisa, again, thank you so much. Thanks to all of you. And we'll do it again next month.
Thanks again, Susie. And everybody stay safe.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.